always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my co-host, my good friend, and my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are things going today in Dallas, Terry?
Going pretty good so far. I'm keeping my eye out for the sheriff, but...
All right. Well, hey, before we even get going here, I want to let everybody know that recently we had someone contact us via the YouTube channel. And by the way, you know, if you guys are listening to us on YouTube, we do encourage you to subscribe to the channel, like the videos, ring the little bell where you get notified of any new videos that come out. But anyway, we had a gentleman that got in touch with us there on the YouTube channel. And when I was telling Terry about it, he let me know that this guy is somebody he knows. And Terry, I have extended on your behalf an invitation for him to join us here on the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. And we're hoping to have him here as early as Thursday, or at least by the by our very next show. I'll put it that way. We hope to have him on by our very next show. And I'm not certain that we can make that happen. You know how things go. I've got emails back and forth, and now we're into the phone tag mode. So I'm not sure if he's going to be available for the next show or not, but I'm going to have him on shortly. I'm going to let you tell people a little bit about him, introduce him and what you know, and then we'll get into today's topics. Go ahead.
Yeah, Carl and his wife, and I hope I get her name right today. I keep getting it wrong, Dainey, because I haven't met her personally. And but anyway, I've spoken many times with her on Facebook and through Carl. Carl and I became acquainted a couple years ago. He's involved in a tract ministry that the Lord has just blessed incredibly. And he travels, and he'll give you the details, all over the country, going to colleges, going to universities, going to high schools, going to sporting events, or any kind of an event that draws a great crowd. And they hand out, he has a team of people that go with him and that join him from city to city. And they hand out literally thousands and thousands of tracts, witnessing to people, and at the same time having the opportunity on occasion to be blessed to actually lead people right there in the moment to Jesus. And so he and I, of course, just hit it off magnificently from the very beginning, and we've had lots of long conversations on the phone, etc. So we're looking forward. I was so pleased that he had, by the Lord's happenstance, there's no coincidence in God's kingdom, but he had gotten on and listened to our program on YouTube, or somehow it got connected. I'm still not clear on that. That's how fast this thing's moving. But the point being is that, lo and behold, Joel was telling me about him. Yeah, I think I got it now. He made a comment, and Joel can fill in the details. But anyway, and he named him, and I said, well, I know Carl.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, so that was neat. That was a little kind of thing the Lord bringing together. So right. Again, Joel's setting it up. He'll be on the show according to the Lord's will and timing. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Joel, or I'll go on forever.
Okay, not a problem. Okay, we do hope to have him on in a future show. Hopefully the very next one. Again, that's Carl Erickson. We can look forward to him joining us. Not even sure how long he's going to be. He may be just a very short interview, and then again, he may be joining us for the whole show. That's totally up to Carl and his times.
Yeah. Sure, let's throw this in, that he's actually going to have a team, and I believe it's going to be in the University of Texas, Dallas area, handing out tracts, and I'm not sure if it's a game or what's going on, but you'll probably be in touch with him before Saturday, and you'll, if we don't get him Thursday, and you can fill in the details.
Yeah, I'm not sure on days yet, and of course I don't want to say days too much. With different radio stations that don't carry us on the same day as the show is provided. Okay,
It's just exciting. You can see when brothers get together in the Lord witnessing how exciting it gets. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joel.
That's okay. Hopefully we can. He will be on at a future time. We'll leave it at that for now. Real quick thing here, Terry. I pulled this little bit of news here just for you. Believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just for you. It's called Dining in Dallas. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Okay, but it says that Dallas is big. No doubt, right? Dallas is big and getting bigger. It says by 2030, it could become the third largest city in the United States. Now, that's pretty significant. Yeah. But anyway, here's the deal. It says, without beaches, mountains, or other natural attractions, it's leaning into high-end dining scenes to entice residents. In the past few years, outposts of elite restaurants such as STK, Kamada, and Carbone have opened in the city, and more seem to be moving in all the time. It's like the U.S.'s version of Dubai, is what just Julie Maclow had to say. Her whiskey is selling for $400 a shot in some Dallas restaurants. So, Terry, I know that you don't drink, you can tell your friends, you know, if they want to spend $400, they can go to one of these restaurants in Dallas. All right, that's just a little side note there. I just threw that in there for you. Okay. All right, now we'll get down to some real stuff here, and I want to play this because I was a member of the airline industry for many, many years, and this caught my attention. I want y'all to listen to this.
Just ahead of what airlines say could be the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since before COVID-19, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is sharing how his department is prepping up for the potential record-breaking season.
Amid an ongoing air traffic controller shortage that's been partly to blame for disruptions across the system, Buttigieg said the Transportation Department continues to hire and train controllers even as key facilities remain below targets. Guy Davis reporting.
I can tell you that it takes quite a while to train an air traffic controller. So if the towers are shorthanded right now, one thing that I want to make this very clear, because I'm not somebody that's trying to scare anyone, okay? But you need air traffic controllers in order to control airplanes and make sure that they don't run into each other. They have a system on board called ACARS, which is the Aircraft Collision Avoidance and Radar System. And that system helps planes know exactly where another plane is, and they're pretty much all equipped with it. But just to kind of give you some security here, I can tell you that air traffic controllers, if they ever thought they were too overswamped, they would close an airport before they risk a human life. Okay, I'm trying to be very, very upbeat about this. Yes, the system is strained. And it's because of a lot of the policies that have been put forth. I'm not going to go into a long explanation about that, but the system is strained, but they are working on it. And I can assure you that the system is safe. If I was going to get on a plane today, I would feel perfectly fine. Okay, I do want to let y'all know about the newest entry into the presidential process here in the United States. And this one is somebody that I could support very easily.
As he launched his presidential campaign on Monday, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina is officially wading into a GOP primary battle already largely dominated by two commanding figures, former President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Scott made his campaign announcement in his hometown of North Charleston after making it official last week with the Federal Election Commission. The late morning event took place at Charleston Southern University, Scott's alma mater and a private school affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention.
Now then, why they had to say that that the school that he attended was affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, that to me is insulting. I am insulted by that because of the fact I can't remember anybody else having their university labeled as, okay, well, it's associated with this or it's associated with that. Mm-hmm. But because it's associated with a Christian organization, they've got to go out of their way. And the only reason that they're doing that, in my opinion, is to cause a problem. That is the only reason that it's being mentioned, in my opinion. Terry, I don't know if you have an opinion on that or not, but you know, I'm just tired of people trying to interfere with Christians' behavior. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Scott's a good man. I was pleased to see he'd entered the race. Going to the other thing in terms of notoriety, is Jesus said, you're going to be like a city on a hill. Even individually, you can't, if you become a Christian, you can't hide it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So they did, they brought it out. Okay, fine. God will help him to use that, in his favor.
Amen.
And he will help draw believers together. So Amen. Now that that's, you know, out of the can, there we are. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, today we are going to get back into Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going that pretty much verse by verse. And this, of course, deals with the return of Israel, the return of the Jews to Israel after being sent across the world by God, after they defied him. And the return, well, it took 2,000 years for them to be the very first and only country to be returned to the land that they lost before, to create the same country that they had before, to create the same language that they had before, to create the same majority race that they had before, in the same capital city that they had before. In other words, they're the only one to ever do this. And guess what? That's not an accident. That's done by the hand of
Amen.
God. So we're going to get back into Ezekiel today and get into that as well. I think that is extremely important. Terry, it is time now, sir, for you and 2 minutes with Terry. And as you're getting your information up there on the on the screen there at your place, I will let people know that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent, you're obviously concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in the public schools, so you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. Now, it only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. And you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net for free information on Kirkwood Homeschool Learning Program for Kids at only $1 a day. All right, Terry, it is now time for you, sir, and I'm going to put you full screen for 2 minutes with Terry, starting right about now.
Folks, as a homeschool father, I can tell you homeschooling works. Welcome to the Last Christian Charge, Engaging the Sword. Today, we anticipate Jesus' shout each day that we may be prepared for battle each day. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? The prophet Jeremiah declared, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great, O Lord, is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:21-23. Let us now continue with Psalm 119, verses 49-72. Zane, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Cheth, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
Terry, I'm going to break in right there because I really don't want to break up scripture. So that's the reason I'm popping in right now. So we'll get to the second half of your presentation in the second half of the newscast today.
Sure.
One more news item that I want to run, and then we're going to get into Ezekiel. Now, as you know, here in the United States, there's been a big thing about TikTok. There's certain states that are even banning it. Some cities are banning it. The United States mm-hmm. government is banning it on federal employees' personal devices. And, of course, we've had the balloons fly over, you know, all this kind of stuff. There's technological mm-hmm. issues between the United States and China, and China's getting tired of it. China's getting tired of being called out on it, basically. So, anyway, I want you to take a listen to this.
China has banned some sales of memory chips made by U.S. company Micron Technology, citing a risk to national security. It's the latest escalation in a battle over technology between Washington and Beijing. Andrew Wood reports.
Washington started to put pressure on Beijing over technology under Donald Trump, and President Joe Biden has continued those policies. Now, the regulators in Beijing say that Micron Technology memory chips are a threat to the national security of China and can't be used. They haven't exactly said why, and that means that things like, say, telecommunication operators or transport networks or even financial companies can no longer use these Micron microchips in their servers and routers.
Okay, now Micron happens to be the largest manufacturer of these chips in the United States. And you heard them say there that, China will no longer provide these different companies with these Micron or buy them, whatever. Okay. So they're becoming harder and harder to use. And, of course, this is going to put a lot of pressure on this particular company. It could cause problems for the employees of that company and that type of thing. But anyway, it's kind of a back and forth between China and the United States. Just kind of let you guys know about it. I don't really have any more to say on it than that, other than, you know, it's an ongoing issue of, tit for tat between the United States and China. Okay, let's get into Ezekiel.
Can I throw in one comment? The reason I busted out laughing is China talking about security. You know, I guess they don't pay attention to what's going on even in their own government. Anyway, let's go ahead.
Well,
that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not even really sure where that goes. Like I said, I'm just not fully up to speed on everything when it comes like that. I don't really have the time to devote to it, but it's basically just a tit for tat, between the two countries. Anyway, getting it back into Ezekiel now, we're going to begin again. Now, this is in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning or picking up in verse 13 through 15. Terry, if you can read that for us, please.
Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God.
Can you kind of go into that? Terry, tell us a little bit about what that means.
Yeah, what the Lord is telling Israel is they've been challenged by people saying, well, you're devouring us. You know, every time somebody stubs their toe in an Arab country, they go crazy and blame Israel. You know, he's saying he's not going to allow this anymore. And he's not going to allow them to cast their aspersions on Israel. And he says, I'm even going to protect you from the taunts of the nations and the reproaches of the people. And he's delivering them. He says, you're going to come into a place of peace.
Right. And of course, now this again deals with the return of the Jews to Israel after being sent
out. In fact, it telescopes out into times beyond, even under the 1,000-year reign, where there's going to be peace, glorious, anyway.
Okay. And, you know, now we're going to pick up more in Ezekiel in the second half of the show. In fact, we got a lot of scripture for you in the second half of the show. That's really what we're going to spend the majority of the time on. So I'm going to get a couple more news items out of the way, kind of clear the decks for that. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I want you to take a look at this one. And the video, by the way, is courtesy of the New York Times. So I'm just to let y'all know that. Anyway, take a listen to this real quick.
The head of the Russian private army, Wagner, claimed Saturday that his forces have taken control of the city of Bakhmut, but Ukrainian defense officials denied it.
In a video posted on Telegram, Wagner head Yevgeny Prigozhin said the city came under complete Russian control at about midday Saturday. He spoke flanked by about half a dozen fighters, with ruined buildings in the background and explosions heard in the distance. However, after the video appeared, Ukrainian Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Maler said heavy fighting was continuing. Harry Michaels reporting.
Now, I'm just kind of letting this video finish off here, just to where you guys can get an idea of the destruction here in Bakhmut. This is, I mean, how would you like to live there? I mean, they basically have no power. They basically have no water. It's almost impossible to get out on the street without being killed. It's been under constant bombardment for a long, long period of time. And you heard the Ukrainians say that the city had not fallen. People, listen to me all over the world. Bakhmut has fallen. It is in the complete control of the Russians. This I can verify as a member of the U.S. Press Association. Ukraine has lost. They have retreated from that area. The Russian militant group, this Wagner group, is in charge of the entire area, and they are now scheduling a takeover with Russian troops, the actual Russian military, to take control of that town. And they are in a position now where they can extend their range of going into the Ukraine. So don't be misled by what some news agencies may be reporting to you. These are warmonger groups that want the United States to become more involved over there. Now, I've got a report here from Reuters, I think is how you say it.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is Ukraine. Okay. Now, they are saying that its forces were still advancing around the edges of Bakhmut, aiming to encircle the ruined eastern city after Moscow congratulated the Wagner private army and Russian troops for capturing it. Now, they are quoted here saying, Wagner today captured no territory. We've captured all the territory we promised to capture right up to the last centimeter. Again, Russia has won this. They have won this area. Now, I'm not saying that the Ukraine can't come back in because, you know, war is war, and you never really know what's going to happen till it happens. So the Ukraine could conceivably win it back, but I wouldn't lay my money on it if I was you. I just don't think that's going to happen. This is the former Russian president, and he's now a member of the Russian cabinet and real close to Putin. Recognize his name here if I can ever find it again. Dmitry Medvedev Again, mm-hmm. he's the former president there and a member of the Russian cabinet. He has warned that the more destructive the weapons that the West supplies to the Ukraine, the higher the risk of nuclear apocalypse. Russia, which has more nuclear weapons than any other state, has repeatedly said that the West is engaged in a proxy war with Russia over the Ukraine that could escalate into a much bigger conflict. He says the more weapons are supplied, the more dangerous the world will be. And the more destructive these weapons are, the more likely the scenario becomes of what is commonly called a nuclear apocalypse. So I would take these warnings seriously. We have been talking about it on this show for months and months, that I personally believe, it is my personal opinion, based on all of the information that I see from all over the world, that Russia will in fact use tactical nuclear weapons in the Ukraine. I predicted that months and months ago. And mm-hmm. I think that you're hearing more and more reports now that they are becoming, well, it's getting to the point now where you can kind of expect it. Everybody's conditioned for it at this point. Would you agree with that, Terry?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that it's becoming common talk everywhere. You know, people right. are talking about it as if they're talking about normal war, and there's right. nothing normal about it.
Right. So. Totally agree with that. Okay, real quick, I'm going to try to sneak this one in. And
an armed ground incursion from Ukraine into Russia has been fully repelled, according to Russia's Ministry of Defense. The self-styled Freedom of Russia Legion took responsibility for the rare example of land warfare on Russian territory. It describes itself as a group of Russians and Belarusians fighting to end what they called President Vladimir Putin's dictatorship. Though they entered from Ukrainian territory, Kyiv says it did not orchestrate the incursion. Stuart Smith reports from Moscow.
The Russian Ministry of Defense says it killed 70 people, destroyed 4 infantry fighting vehicles and 5 pickup trucks. The rest, it claims, were forced out of Russia back to Ukraine. The group, described by Moscow as a Ukrainian sabotage and reconnaissance formation, shot their way through a border checkpoint and proceeded a few kilometers towards the region's capital before reinforcements from Russia's Western Military District deployed to meet them. The Kremlin says it was an attempt to distract from Russian success in the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut after 8 months of battle, which Moscow claims finally came under the control of Russian forces at the weekend. Stuart Smith, Moscow.
Okay, and we are out of time, so I'm not going to comment on that yet. However, we'll begin the second half of the show with a little bit more information on this, because it really is important. And then, of course, we will get into more into Ezekiel 36. If you got a radio station, you want a new show, we're it. Go to lastchristian.net, and we'll show you how to pick it up. We'll be back right after the break with the second half. Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined there in the Dallas area by my friend, my co-host, and my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I'm going to jump right back into this as far as what's going on over there. Now, again, Belarus is the main issue here. Let me play this. I don't think I played this one. If I did, I'll apologize in advance, but I don't think I played this one yet.
An armed ground incursion from Ukraine into Russia has been fully repelled, according to Russia's Ministry of Defense. The self-styled Freedom of Russia Legion took responsibility for the rare example of land warfare on Russian territory. It describes itself as a group of Russians and Belarusians fighting to end what they called President Vladimir Putin's dictatorship. Though they entered from Ukrainian territory, Kyiv says it did not orchestrate the incursion. Stuart Smith reports from Moscow.
The Russian Ministry of Defense says it killed 70 people, destroyed 4 infantry fighting vehicles and 5 pickup trucks. The rest, it claims, were forced out of Russia back to Ukraine. The group, described by Moscow as a Ukrainian sabotage and reconnaissance formation, shot their way through a border checkpoint and proceeded a few kilometers towards the region's capital before reinforcements from Russia's Western Military District deployed to meet them. The Kremlin says it was an attempt to distract from Russian success in the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut after 8 months of battle, which Moscow claims finally came under the control of Russian forces at the weekend. Stuart Smith, Moscow.
Okay, now the big deal here is the fact that this incursion into Russia proper, or into territory that is considered at least to be Russian territory, originated in the Ukraine. So, of course, Russia is going to blame the Ukraine for an attack on their territory in the same way that we as Americans would blame Mexico if there was some type of a fighting force that came attacking across our border from the south, or that we would blame Canada if some group, military force, came down from Canada. We would blame that country for not controlling what happened within their borders. And so Russia has every right to do the same, in my opinion. I'm not saying Russia's a good country. I'm not saying that, you know, that it's bad that they're being attacked. I'm just saying that you can't blame them if they take action being attacked on their mainland. So, you know, that's my position on it. Terry, you may have another one. Go ahead.
No. In fact, I think what we're looking at here is the Ukraine attempting, which someone mentioned in the report, trying to get the eye off Bakhmut, and trying to get the idea that the Ukraine is pushing forward. Right. And they got their backsides kicked and thrown back out across the line. So that's all this is. It's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Well, now, also, you heard earlier, I was talking about this, the former president of Russia, talking about how things that are going on here, you know, what the West is trying to do could bring on a more nuclear attack. Well, here's what he's talking about. Just take a listen to this real quick.
The transfer of F-16 jets to Ukraine would raise the question of NATO's role in the conflict, a senior Russian diplomat said on Monday.
What will happen if the American fighters take off from NATO airfields controlled by foreign volunteers? Antonov said that any Ukrainian strike on the Crimea region would be considered a strike on Russia. It is important that the United States be fully aware of the Russian response, Antonov said. Clara Hudson reporting.
In other words, if U.S. fighter jets are used in an attack on Russia, then Russia is going to take what action that they feel is appropriate, which could include tactical nuclear weapons. Any comment on that, Terry?
Yeah, last night someone rightly on one of the news shows noted that if you see F-16s over there in the battle, it's not Ukrainians flying them because they don't know how. So it's, guess who's going to be flying those F-16s? It's going to have to be Americans.
Well, the reports that I have say no.
I know that. Yeah.
Okay. The reporting I'm getting is that Americans are there, yes, but they are training the Ukrainians in how to fly those jets, much in the same way, and this is another report, much in the same way that the United States was helping the South Vietnamese learn how to use American equipment during the Vietnam War. So, you know, you get more and more of these parallels together. But let me tell you this. If there was an American jet, this is the reason I don't think it's happening. This is the reason I do not think American pilots are flying these, okay? If there was a jet that was shot down out of the sky in the Ukraine and it turned out that an American pilot was flying that, you're talking about World War III because the United States would have to respond. Russia would definitely respond immediately because they would have come under attack by the United States of America military, and the United States military would have had a plane and pilot shot down by the Russians. So you're looking at World War III. This is the reason I do not think American pilots are flying those planes. Personal opinion, and based on news reports, that's where I stand on that issue. Okay, let's get back now to Ezekiel, and I want to begin here in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16 through 19. And Terry, I'm going to go ahead and put this up on the screen for you right here. And if you'll read that, sir.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land, and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds.
And here, I think, you know, this makes it very clear that it was God indeed who did scatter the Jewish people all over the world. And, you know, that becomes very, very clear in verse 19. Does it not, Terry?
Yeah, it absolutely clarifies it perfectly. Yeah.
And
need to look to God, not to anybody else. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask if there's anything, anything else in this group of verses that you would like to go into a little bit more detail on?
No, just to point out that as you do an overview of the verse, again, you see if this is God doing this. We're not just saying that. We say we support Israel, and, you know, this is God himself speaking.
Amen.
He's doing this. He's the one who's in control.
Right, and you can see that as an absolute fact if you simply look at the verses where it says, so I scattered them?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So, you know, that is definitely, no doubt about it, that is God himself. Okay, moving on here to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 20 through 22, Terry?
When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went.
Okay, now, I need some definition here. I'm hoping maybe you can provide.
Absolutely.
No guarantee and no pressure, okay? But, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you want, explain that one. I don't understand and again, this is just me. I do not understand this. You have profaned my name among nations. Can you give me an idea of what that is talking about?
Okay. People were saying, look, your God threw you out of the country. And he's saying, you continued in your sin when you got thrown out. You'd think they would have repented and said, you know what, we messed up. They right. didn't repent. They continued sinning. And people said, yes, your God. So the chastising was going back against God, against his very holy name. And he said, I'm not throwing you out and doing these things for your sake. He says, I'm doing them. I threw you out of the land because this is my land. God says he loves the land of Israel. And so he's doing this for them on purpose. And he wants them to know his name is holy and they're not going to get past it because Amen. They've profaned his name. He's thrown them out.
Okay, and that makes absolute sense, 100%. Okay, moving on now to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 23 through 26, sir.
And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. When I am hallowed in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Well, there is a lot to unpack in this group of verses. So now then, in verse 23, again, he states here that the nation shall know that I'm the Lord when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Can you explain that verse a little bit? I mean, you know,
to explain it there. You notice he says, I'm going to sanctify my great name. We think when we do something wrong that we've profaned his name, but we've somehow besmirched it in a way that has caused God harm. He's saying, no, you know, this isn't the end of the game. Sanctify means to make holy. And he says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to sanctify this situation because of my name.
Right.
And you took the words away.
I did it on purpose because it's time for 2 minutes with Terry. And I didn't want to keep it up too much. I didn't want to keep it up too long.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
So anyway, I do want to give you your time for sure. Yeah. And as you get prepared there, I do want to once again remind people that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in the public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. All it takes is just a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, and smartphones. And, of course, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. to receive your free information concerning Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids at only $1 per day. Okay, Terry, it's time for you. 2 minutes with Terry, and it begins, sir, right about now.
Homeschooling works, folks. Cheth, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Teth, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Psalm 119, verses 49 through 72. And again we say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, I'm hoping we can get back into Ezekiel a little bit, but there are still some things that we need to go over today. First of all, there's a few more news items here close to home here in the United States. It says here, and this, by the way, is from the New York Times. I think that's the second time I've said New York Times in this broadcast. And, you know, the New York Times is not one that we're really all that thrilled about having with us here. But anyway, Democrats, it says here that the Democrats used to criticize the Supreme Court respectfully, but increasingly they see the court as irredeemable. Okay. Now, here it says, and this is a quote. It said, there's been a sea change in the way Democrats view and talk about the Supreme Court. This is according to Carl Holtz, the Times' chief Washington correspondent. He said that Democrats used to respectfully disagree with the justices. Now they call them illegitimate and corrupt, partisan and extreme. The problem is not that the Supreme Court is just conservative. Representative Katie Porter said on the House floor, the problem is that it is corrupt. Each scandal uncovered, each norm broken, each precedent-shattering ruling delivered is a reminder that we must restore justice and balance to the rogue, radical Supreme Court. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts said the Supreme Court is a cesspool of corruption, devastating our communities. Representative Carl Bush of Missouri said this activist, extremist MAGA court faces a legitimacy crisis. Senator Jeff Markey of Oregon said, and a legitimacy crisis for the court is a crisis for our Democratic Republic. In other words, the Democrats are going to full out assail the Supreme Court of the United States with the intention, and this is not a secret, so anybody that wants to check it, you can, because again, I'm reporting this as a member of the U.S. Press Association. They want to pack the court. They want to give Biden three more Supreme Court justices where they can flip the court and make it Democrat basically forever. And they're working on that hard. And this report, I think, proves that without any doubts whatsoever. Terry, any comment on that?
Yeah. You know, I was waiting for the word Democrat because that's their name is all over this thing. And
it's a Democratic report, no doubt. Yeah, it's a Democrat report.
Why should we be surprised? Folks, this is how serious things have gotten. If they can turn over the Supreme Court, folks, you're going to have to go to the closet. And never mind. I'm not going to say that.
All right,
because
that's my opinion,
and we're going to leave that alone.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
By the way, if you see a cat back here, it belongs to the grandkids. Okay.
Yeah, just say, I do. I see a cat.
Yeah, yeah. Say hi, Dillinger.
Hi, Dillinger.
Real quick here, this is a report that I think is important, and this comes out, well, I'll just let you listen
with
to
FSN
it.
Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at the return of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to the Arab League summit. It was held in Saudi Arabia over the weekend. It was a stunning image. The Syrian dictator, who has presided over a brutal Russian-backed war against his own people, having the red carpet rolled out for him by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Riyadh shelving its earlier backing of Syria's opposition, and holding talks with Assad over the reconstruction of his country and the future of millions of Syrians who fled the fighting and now live in Lebanon and Turkey. Carla Ann Robbins is with America's Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, Assad, you know, holds one thing that everybody wants, which is people want those refugees to go home. It would be horrifying if these countries were to force these people out. A lot of countries haven't reestablished diplomatic relations the way the Saudis have, so maybe we can cross our fingers and hope that they try to find some leverage. Perhaps the biggest leverage they hold is this question of reconstruction, because Assad really more than anything else wants reconstruction aid. Certainly one would hope that there would come a genuine price for it. He's got to get something up, I would think, and so far he's not given anything up.
Syrian membership of the Arab League was suspended 12 years ago. Assad's return center stage comes as Saudi Arabia makes big foreign policy changes, including restoring diplomatic ties with Iran. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And this simply plays into Ezekiel 38. We'll get there one of these days and talk about that about that too. Unfortunately for the snowflake, snowflake. The lady that was talking there obviously has no clue as to what goes on with the Bible. No clue at all. And you know, that's unfortunate. And Terry, can you say a prayer very quickly for those in the world who have yet to pick up a Bible and read it?
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And Lord, for the honor and the privilege, as Paul said, that we should enter unto you, your throne, the throne of grace. We should enter boldly, Lord, and never be afraid to come to you with all prayers. And for this, Lord, the world is getting darker and darker. It's so obvious that it's not even worth comment so often. Things are happening exactly as you prophesied thousands of years ago. Amen. And you told us the end from the beginning. But Lord, nonetheless, as you desire, because of your love for the world, you died for the sins of the whole world. We pray for these people that you will prick the hearts of those, Lord, who are in any way in a place where the word of God can pierce them, because we know the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of bone and marrow, to the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord Jesus, cause them to realize your word is true. Turn them, Lord, save them. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, now Syria, of course, is just one part of this, but some quick reports here. First of all, Beijing, China, is rebuking Japan and Britain over the anti-China G7 summit that they just held last week. It said that the state-backed Chinese Global Times has called the G7 an anti-China workshop. And Russia, a close ally of China, has also called out the G7 statement over its war in the Ukraine and said that the summit was an incubator for anti-Russian and anti-Chinese hysteria. The Chinese said the main thing that's happening here is Japan using its position as a rotating chair to create an anti-China movement. So that's one thing. Again, China keeps stepping up, and the United States keeps stepping down off the world stage. Mm-hmm. In Israel now, the IDF chief, Halevi, he's the IDF chief of staff, Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, and I always apologize for mispronouncing people's name. He said that Iran's continued nuclear advances could lead Israel to having no choice but to attack. The IDF chief said that Iran has progressed in recent years with enriching uranium more than ever before. We're looking closely at the various arenas which are part of the path to nuclear capabilities. There are negative potential trends on the horizon which could lead to acting, and we have the capabilities. So, Israel is pretty much laying it out there. They're warning Iran that they're serious. You know, I mean, they've gone into other countries before and taken out nuclear sites, mm-hmm. nuclear mm-hmm. development. I believe Iraq was one that they mm-hmm. went into. And now, it's becoming more and more obvious that something's going to have to be done with Iran. The military intelligence chief, now this is Nasrallah, he said that the Iranians are close to making a mistake which could lead to war. This is Major General Aharon Halevi. Said that the confrontation with Iran's proxies has turned into a direct confrontation with the Islamic Republic itself, and it's being conducted in many fields, not just nuclear, fighting, or shipping. He says, in our opinion, no decision was made in Iran to reach nuclear weapons breakout capability, neither in enrichment nor in the development of weapons. We have our eyes open for Iran to signal at any moment our readiness for this manner. Israel needs to take a deep look at its position in the region. Israel is a regional power, and it needs to continue to take advantage of its assets in the entire region. We live in a time when there is no common ground for all our enemies who are planning the hour of the hour. They are deterred from war with us. I like that hour. How do they say it again?
Yeah.
The hour of the hour. Yeah, the hour of the hour. Mm-hmm. There's an hour we're waiting for too, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to keep that in mind because the Lord knows mm-hmm. the day and the hour that the rapture will occur.
Yeah.
Last thing here from Prime Minister Netanyahu, it's very brief. He says, our enemies should know we are way ahead of you. In other words, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we know exactly what you're doing. So I want to finish the show this way. Just like there is a last play in a football game, there is that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. There's no way around it. Everything has an end, and there's going to be that last person to accept Christ before the rapture of the church. There has to be. Now, you can accept mm-hmm. Christ after the rapture, but if so, please understand you have to go through at least a little bit of 7 years of great tribulation, the worst time in the history of the world. You can avoid all of that by simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know he died on the cross for me. I know he spilled his blood there. I know he died. I know he was put in the tomb for 3 days. I know he predicted and then did rise from the tomb on the third day. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he has risen to be with you in heaven. And I know he's promised to come back for his church in that great day known as the rapture. I promise to follow you all the remaining days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And you just might be that last individual that we're all looking for. And if so, after you say that prayer, the next face that you see is going to be Jesus Christ. And you'll be surrounded by Christians like Terry and myself. If we're given another Amen. Show, we'll be back next time. Until then, good night, and may God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.